right?
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. It is episode 584. My name is Will Coates. This is Anna Hummel.
Hi.
Hey, you look good. You look stylish today.
I look like you.
You do.
I'm wearing a shirt because I was disappearing into the ether.
Yeah.
At the Temple of Doom.
That's right. The palatial estate.
Yeah.
We're on St. Mary, Little St. James, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Little St. James.
We rebuilt the mansion.
Yes.
Brick by brick. And here we are. well, welcome. Thank you all for being here. Poodle Ballin. What's up, dude?
Oh, he's a former Bob Army fan, I believe.
Former?
I think he's a troll now, but...
Okay.
You know, I forget what it's called. You know, like a Satan was an angel or something.
Yes.
It's one of those. Like they turn dark.
I got you.
And they come on to our. Yeah, there we go.
That's what's up. Okay. Well, cool. Well, what's up, dude? How was your Labor Day weekend?
Long stressful.
Oh, yeah.
Stressful. I, in fact, did labor on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Dude, I had diarrhea. I had a host of issues, but I do want to give a shout out to a very special someone who's listening in the bed that he's lived in for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And that is Holyoke Joe.
Yes.
Joe, the supermark.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anybody that I was on the air in Dallas. I was very scared. I was so scared. I was very nervous. I don't even think I told my parents. It was a fleeting comment I made to my dad like 3 weeks ago, but I didn't remind him. I didn't tell my mom. I told you, I didn't remind you. I did 2 hours alone, no callers, no co-host, just a producer who would whisper in my ear. And it was terrifying.
So you wouldn't, was he not allowed to talk? Is that just not the format that they follow? A producer doesn't get involved. He just pulls clips and... Et cetera, et cetera.
That was the preference of the program director, but he was like, if you run into a pickle, like you can bring him on. But for the most part, he told me, he's like, I don't want to hear the producer. I want to hear you. Mm-hmm. I want to hear you. And I was like, okay. And I kept like asking for calls, not like a begging for calls, but maybe once a segment I would get, give the number out. And I hear the producer say during the break, he goes, there was one caller, but he wasn't very good. And I was like, all right, well, you can put him on. It was freaking Joe.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know that until afterwards. He's like, I called in. I wanted to support you. I don't know what would have happened had Joe called. It would have been great. It would have been fine. Yeah. But it was just really funny.
He didn't let him on the air.
He didn't let him on.
Oh,
he just goes, there was a guy that called in. And he goes, but he wasn't very good.
Dang.
And I now that I know who it was, I go, nay. He is good. He's amazing. We could have done a show together.
Yeah.
So anyways, thanks, Joe. He reached out. My dad was mad I didn't remind him, but I was like, too bad.
Yeah. I told you, I was like, send me the info. I'll put it up on the pages and all that where people can tune into you. But I caught the last 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of, go ahead and play that clip to your producer. And then, oh, you don't have that. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Well, I'll just read it.
Yeah.
But it was good. It sounded good.
It was. And to be honest, at first I was like, this guy is inadequate. And then I realized it was my mess up.
Yeah.
I messed up. So, thanks to the team at WBAP. It was awesome. Definitely a different experience with like more traditional news talk. Cause I come from a hot talk space where if something's not going right, you just tell the audience, hey, something's not going right. Well, they don't like that over there.
Yeah. It's a shame because it's just better to be honest.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm struggling. Help me.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. Mm. So shout out to Joe. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, Joe. I had a fun Labor Day. I took a very brief trip up to Cedar Key, Florida, and we stayed overnight there. Still messed up, beat up from the hurricanes. I don't know if you've ever been out there, but
no.
It's a weird place. It almost reminds me a little bit of Key West on a very miniature version. They just kind of have this one strip, and it's got a few bars and restaurants and stuff, but it's very tiny. I think the population is maybe a few hundred tops, but it was all burned. Like, buildings were just in shambles, burned down. Still not looking that great. There's one bar that was open. But we enjoyed that. Then we went over in the morning, Sunday morning, went to Rainbow Springs.
How was that?
In Dunellen.
Sounds beautiful.
It's about 45 minutes an hour. It was very pretty there. I felt like I was in Mexico.
Why is
that? I felt like a visitor in my own state that I lived in. I don't want to over-exaggerate, but I would say that 75%, and it was packed. I mean, when we pulled in, they had a sign out in front that said, "Park is closed."
In Spanish?
not in Spanish, in English. But they happened to open it up. I guess a few people left, so they opened it up and let us go in. But it was, I mean, a packed house. And it was like Mexican music playing everywhere.
No.
A lot of Espanol. I couldn't help but to notice. And my, Julia doesn't. She doesn't care.
Hey,
Gary. Nice. Thanks, Gary. Caught a live feed. Glad you're here, bud.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. We do have the super chats, by the way. Thank you, Gary. Welcome. It was kind of an unusual experience. I mean, I don't know. I used to not care about this stuff either, but now
it bother you?
It bothers me because I can't understand anybody.
I mean, do you need to?
Yeah, I'd like to be able to, know what's going on, if I'm in danger, if something's happening.
Right.
I would kind of like to know. But I just felt very out of place in my own home. And I don't really know.
I can sense you're uneasy about it. As well, you should be.
I just, well, yeah.
Want to know why?
Why?
Because we live in America.
Yeah.
And the national language is English.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to the people out there who are thinking about, what I was told my whole life? I'm from San Diego, right? Which is essentially...
That's a Spanish. Sure.
Mexico, right? Yeah. I was told, you should learn Spanish. This is what everyone told me. You should learn Spanish because it would be so useful. That's what the people say. My parents, my mother told me that. You should learn Spanish. It'd be so useful. It'd be so useful. No. Do not learn Spanish. Do not acquiesce to them. They should take an English class. They perhaps should get Babbel or Rosetta Stone and learn the language of the country they currently reside in.
I'd agree with that, but I don't like agreeing with that. Well, I used to make fun of the people who would be like, there would be t-shirts and stuff, speak English. I wish I could find one. Now, I wish I could find it. I want to wear that now.
But my white Reeboks and my Trump hat.
My New Balances.
My New Balance.
Yeah. I don't know. I do believe that I'm right, but also I don't like feeling this way. And I don't like that I've been put in a position to feel this way either. 75% of the area I was in spoke a totally different language, and I wasn't in another country. It was just a bizarre feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the thing about that group of people, generally speaking, and I know because I don't know if you've ever been to the Dunedin Causeway, but it's a very similar experience.
Is it really?
Yes. Yeah.
My buddy, I was telling my buddy this story and he was like, I thought Florida had, alligator Alcatraz and stuff. I'm like, listen, I don't know if the people are here illegally that were speaking the language. Maybe they're just more I'm sure they're more comfortable speaking their mother tongue. Their own language.
And that's okay. I can still be annoyed by it.
Yeah. At least I can be annoyed by it, right?
But what I was going to say is that the problem with this is that oftentimes it's not even the language, which is a problem. It's, I got to call out my Hispanic homies. You play music too loud.
It was loud.
You
That's the
never
other thing.
Understand appropriate volume. I don't know if you're aware, but not everyone wants to listen to the song you're playing.
It's a shared space. It's a public park.
And I'm not saying, well, you need to put in your earbuds. Okay.
Yes,
just saying
you should.
Yeah. But also, like, if you're, you know, camping or it's kind of a whatever, you're at a spring and you want to play some music, fine. Appropriate volume. It's always maxed out. It's this, dude, your music, it sucks. It's not good. It's bad music and it's loud, and that bothers me.
Let me pull us back from the edge just a little bit. Any music, I don't care if it's the great Elvis Presley, if it's at an inappropriate volume in a public space, no, absolutely not. No, no, no. We don't do that here. It's a shared space. You see, we want to you go to these places to get out of the city and be in
nature, quiet a little.
And I don't want to hear when I'm trying to look at a dang beautiful, pristine waterfront. I just don't. And again, it doesn't matter if it's any, just music of any kind,
but especially yours.
There is a guy on it, and I'm sorry, but we're noticing a pattern here, that rides his bike at Lake Seminole. And we frequent Lake Seminole, semi close to the house, and we go there sometimes and like to walk. And there's a guy, and he speaks Spanish. I don't know where he's from, but I know he speaks Spanish. And I know that because he listens to music that's Spanish, that has Spanish speakers singing in it. And he plays it super loud on a boombox as he rides his bike around. And it drives me absolutely insane. I mean, to the point where one day there's going to be a confrontation. Because
could you take him?
Yeah, he's an old man. Okay. I think I could. You know, you never know.
What if he rammed into you with his bike?
All right. But, you know, even if it was some teenager playing, what's a popular music artist these days for
Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Okay. Taylor Swift. No, we don't do that here. We're trying to enjoy nature and get away from that for a little while. So, you know, it was an experience. We didn't stay very long. Julia jumped in the very cold 72 degree spring, and I felt like I needed to watch this stuff.
Why is that?
I don't know. It was just packed. There was like nowhere to put it. I just don't want to leave. Like, we had our phones and our wallet. Like, I just didn't want to. It's so easy because it's like in a bag too, you know? So if someone were, I'm not implying that anyone would, but it was just very crowded. And our whole lives are in one little bag that you could just grip by the handles and take away. So I decided I'll wait. Mm. I'll watch from the sidelines.
And cheer on your fiance.
Yep. And then she got in. We went for a hike and then left and came back home.
Nice. So that sounds lovely.
It was nice. But can we just all agree, no matter what language you speak or where you come from, no music.
Or low.
No,
but Spanish music is bad.
It's a matter
it's
of
really,
opinion.
Guys. I am trying. I hate it. I hate it. You know, I went to a wedding. I went to a wedding in April of 22. Okay, beautiful wedding. Kind of. This is not a knock on anyone. I'm about to go to your wedding. I'm not passing judgment or anything like that. It was a low budget wedding. No problem.
Yeah,
I like low budget. And they said that there's going to be music. I'm like, great. They told me, they're like, Anna, you're going to love this. There's going to be a mariachi band.
Good.
And I went, okay. I'm thinking, like, you know, from the sidelines, adding a little bit of ambiance or party vibe. I don't know what they were going for. It was so effing loud. I was trying to talk to someone this closer than you and I were screaming at each other. These mariachi guys are maybe 50 yards away. Just the speaker. It was horrific. I was like, I got it. This wedding sucks. I can't do this.
I can't, unless I'm at a concert where I went and bought a ticket to watch.
Listen to loud music.
Yeah, that's different.
Of course.
I hate it in bar. I mean, if I'm in a bar and you got some guy that starts to set up his a guitar, I'm like,
here we go. I mean, like a brunch. You go with, I go to brunch sometimes. God forbid, like you said, God forbid it's a DJ setting up, but it's someone with a guitar and they're just like, yeah. And I'm like, it's 11 a.m. Can you shut up?
It's just, yeah, I don't know. Do people, I feel like everybody hates it. Does anybody really like live music at bars?
Unless you're there to see the band, like you said, I would vote no, because you're at the bar to talk.
Yeah.
You're trying to like catch up with friends.
I don't even like TVs at the bar usually.
I mean, if they're on silent.
If the football game is on, or you go to watch the football, much like, I guess if you're going to see a musician, if you're going to watch a football game with friends.
Yeah.
Then okay. You want to have
like every once in a great while, I'll go to a bar to watch a UFC fight.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, we're there to watch the fight.
But primarily there to watch the fight. Second, socialize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually if you're going to a bar though, it's like to hang out, socialize,
want
a drink.
Guys and gals. You just can't do that when you're like screaming at each other. It's terrible.
Yeah, I hate it.
Club, different story. You're there to dance. You're there to just get effed up and, you know, move around, do drugs. Fine. But not at the bars. Not when you're trying to do brunch. And not when you're at Rainbow Springs.
No. No music. They should ban that. I don't know why they... it might be banned and they just... didn't have the manpower to enforce it, maybe, especially with that big of a crowd. But yeah, it was annoying. It was annoying, but beautiful park. Yeah. Though I'm going to go back when they said after Labor Day, it's a little less crowded.
Yeah.
So I'll go back and jump in then.
Speaking of crowds, I've been falling asleep each night, relaxing. Okay. Capping the night off with just snuggling in my bed, watching people live out the worst moment of their lives. There's a Katrina Netflix docuseries.
I watched it, yeah.
There is so much that I missed during when it was actually happening in 05, 20 years ago, because I had just graduated high school, about to enter college, and I was really focused on Anna at that point. You know, thinking about what I'm going to do, college, you know, prepping for that, going to orientations. So I kind of, not that I missed Katrina, I remember hearing about it, but there were a lot of details that I didn't know about. Dude.
It's bad.
That sucks.
Yeah. Really bad.
Oh my God.
It was pretty much, actually Julia watched most of it. I came in and saw some of it. It was pretty much just the 20th anniversary of the When the Levees Broke HBO documentary. A lot of the same people were in it. Did you watch that one?
No.
Okay. You probably enjoy that one as well.
It's a 20-year anniversary?
I think it's 20 years, right? Since Katrina. Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? But you said since the HBO documentary.
Well, Spike Lee did it. I think Spike Lee was behind this Netflix one, too. It seemed like it was just rehashing, like, the same documentary. He had a lot of the same people in it.
When did that documentary come out?
Probably, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even more.
It
was bad.
It was way worse than I even thought it was.
The crazy thing about that was is that they kind of survived the hurricane.
Yes, itself. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't really know that either. Like they got places were beat up and stuff, but then after the levees broke, and then all that water, because they're below sea level, just rushed
in. They were like in a fishbowl, the guy said. And I didn't know that. Because, you know, a bunch of people got, you know, messed up during the actual hurricane, but they survived that. And then just the levees. It was like three different places the levees broke and just the water just rushed in. It was completely underwater. And then there's that beautiful moment, Kanye West. So funny.
All-timer.
Yeah. Maybe George my Bush. Favorite. Yeah. George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah.
And moment. Then just a confused Michael Myers. And then
I don't understand. What do you want them to do in that situation? Like, what can you do in that? I suppose maybe they could have had helicopters closer to that area, maybe out of the path of the storm. We were in, major conflict in the Middle East at that time in particular. So a lot of those resources were there.
Yeah, like the National Guard. And
so, yeah, and even just equipment like, you know, helicopters, planes, you know, trucks, all that stuff was being used over there. It's just like a freak of nature event. Now, it seems like the levees could have been fortified beforehand.
Yeah.
That would have been the main thing to do.
Did you see that helicopter just dropping bags of sand in like
20
feet of water?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It was one bag at a time with one helicopter. I think they're going to just float away. But listen, this is what I have to say about that, because that is exactly what my boyfriend said. What are they supposed to do? I think it was more of just like a be better prepared.
But again, like I'm saying, yeah, maybe you could have had
like a plan in place.
Should have been to, you know, fortify the levees.
Yes.
Which I think a local government really dropped the ball on that. But, you know, you're just pushing blame. Or it's also like a freak, like, you know, storm.
Is it though? I mean, they had Betsy apparently.
Yeah.
Which did a similar thing. In 2005, it was more densely populated, which to me is insane. Like, oh, this place is.
Well, yeah.
If you get hit, you're all going to die. All right, let's move there. Yeah. But
it's notorious for, you know, storms. It's
below sea level. Yeah. And it's on the Gulf.
I mean, you know, yeah. I don't know. I feel bad for a government of all people in that situation. Like, I just wouldn't know where to start, what you would do in that situation.
It was awful.
A lot of people died. It was, just being trapped in your home and just the water. It's just
like on your roof.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we've been really lucky this hurricane season. And so United States as a whole. Yeah, we're getting into the peak though now. So I don't want to, not putting it out there.
Watch next week's podcast is canceled because we're underwater.
Yeah, knock on wood. Hopefully not. I did want to talk about this I did a video about this solo because I was so, this was probably many weeks ago now. But the owner of Shiso Crispy, which was a food truck, now it is a brick and mortar restaurant now, right in downtown, like right on the main block, right near Williams Park. Williams Park, notoriously a hub for the unhoused, the homeless population. They hang out in the park and just like do stuff, not just the homeless out there. Yeah. And I remember they used to, when I was living down there at night, they would clear them all out and take them either, I guess, to jail or to a shelter, I think.
To take them somewhere?
They used to do that.
To put them in your car.
I think they have like a transport. Yeah. You kind of get in and you can hose it down afterwards.
It's like how they transport horses.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
And a trailer.
But I don't know if they're still doing that anymore. But this lady, the owner of this restaurant, is upset because there's pee and poop everywhere.
And just people hanging out.
People hanging out and panhandling. And
I'm not going to a restaurant where there's that hanging out.
I don't want
to
sit outside when there's, you know, and it's a nice view of the park. You know,
yeah,
you
it's the nice. It might be, maybe not the nicest, but it's one of the nice parks in St. Pete.
Yeah.
You know,
so a lot of people, it's affecting her business. So she filed a lawsuit against the city of St. Petersburg, saying that the city has caused damage to the restaurant by failing to enforce laws banning camping in public places. Last Thursday, according to documents obtained by Creative Loafing Tampa Bay, local mutual aid group Progressive People's Action enlisted the help of the Southern Poverty Law Center, a civil rights organization. It's just a progressive, it's just been hollowed out by progressive politics, but that defends the legal rights of marginalized people to represent the interests of St. Pete's homeless residents who stand to be impacted by the outcome of the case. So I think what they want is people to be allowed to be homeless and just pee and poop outside. That's their civil rights, I guess.
Sounds like that's what they're implying.
The lawsuit against the city says that She's So Crispy owner, employees, and patrons have been subjected to harassment and threats by people who regularly sleep overnight in Williams Park and on the site. So they must not take them out anymore. They must just leave them there. That sleep on the sidewalks outside the business. On August 19th, the city filed a motion to dismiss the case, saying that the police department enforces all applicable laws and that Wally's complaints amount to a litany of scandalous recitations. Is that what that word is?
Recitations.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I've never seen it before. Designed to generate publicity, not plead a case. The court has yet ruled on the city's motion to dismiss.
Can I give a hot take on this?
Yeah, sure.
Did you didn't know about Williams Park before you decided to open up a business there?
Victim blaming?
Yeah, you knew better.
Yeah, maybe you should just stuck with the food truck.
Or like just wait until another location becomes available. Like, you know this.
I mean, it's not just William. I mean, St. Pete in general. I'm sure a lot of...
Williams Park is especially bad.
That is the hub. That is ground zero.
Yeah. It's bad. You know, you go to like where the Sundial is. It's a little bit nicer. Less homeless people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you knew this going in.
Right.
You knew this. That it was going to be a problem. You were hoping that law enforcement... Well, guess what? They're not. And now it's on your... It's your duty. Not duty, but maybe if you could... If I were you, this is what I would do. Maybe you need a pressure wash outside on the sidewalk.
Well, the thing with that is...
hose them down.
Is minutes later, there would be more... I mean, you just have to constantly do that.
That's fine. After a certain point, they're going to not be wanting to get wet anymore. You just hose down their tents.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really, you know, you're getting spray at tables and, you know, people are eating. And
you do it when it's closed.
Yeah.
You know,
you just leave the turds there when it's open.
I don't know. But I say you pressure wash once or twice and then the homeless people are not going to want to congregate there. But then it's just as much of a problem almost if they're right across the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bad, like, you're just like, I still see you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you. Go away. I don't. Can I just? I'll wait for the. When are we going to?
Extra time. Yeah. A few minutes. Florida's public camping law passed last year, despite sharp criticisms, and makes sleeping overnight in public places illegal in many circumstances. The law went into effect in January of this year and allows residents to sue local governments if they don't enforce it. Detractors like the Florida Policy Institute say that the law criminalizes homelessness.
Yep.
Without offering real solutions. Okay. The city's motion to dismiss the case says that the law was designed for tent encampments, citing remarks made by Governor Ron DeSantis when he signed the law into effect, and also says that the city has taken measures to prevent these for decades. Well, okay. I don't know this law in and out.
Me neither.
But you're still having people congregate in a park. So they don't have 10. I mean, it's semantics, really, we're talking. It's still a group of people. They just don't happen to have 10. If they have tents, then it would be an issue, is what they're saying. But they don't have tents. So it's all good. And they used to have the tent city underneath the overpass on Fifth Avenue, kind of near the hospital. They used to have that tent city up there. I don't know, man. We're looking at solutions here, but like, I don't like feeling this way. I used to not feel this way, but I'm sorry. Just reason and logic has led me to this place that yes, homelessness should be criminalized.
Maybe it's time to go into overtime.
Let's see where we're at for time wise. Should we let Radio St. Pete go? Yeah, we're just about here.
Bye.
We'll say, say goodbye to our friends at Radio St. Pete and podcast listeners. If you want the full uncensored show, Anna's apparently got something to say. So you might want to check it out. Head over to hmbradio.substack.com. You can subscribe there. It's the cheapest I can make it. There's also a free option, which you'll get the free podcast early, 4 days early, before Radio St. Pete and the podcast, regular podcast feed gets it. So go over there and sign up, even if it's for free, hmbradio.substack.com. And we'll be live 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. You can get in touch, 813-693-2124. Will Kuntz on Venmo if you want to donate that way. I split that with Anna. And of course, the super chats and all that. Thank you, Gare, for that
super chat.
Much appreciated. So we'll say goodbye to our friends at Radio St. Pete.
Hey.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.